Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios are getting a nice little wipe down thanks to D-Mace.
Yes,
D-Mace giving me the once
studio
over.
Studio custodian.
Yeah, you know, with emptying trash, cleaning off tables, you know. The more I can do, you know.
I try to be
a helping hand to the people in the studio.
Man, you leave the studio for 48 hours, you go do a show at Bridgestone, you come back, and what the heck?
The whole place just goes by the wayside.
Exactly, man. Shoot.
What was going on last night?
Another day in paradise.
This group is tasked at keeping it all together.
We try to.
We try.
Yeah, we absolutely try.
The next thing we got to do is hold a garage sale for all this stuff over here in the corner that gets out. What did you say? It's like Sanford and Son?
Yeah, it's just like Sanford
and Son. It's like Lamont Sanford and Fred Sanford holding a little yard sale out here. Holy cow.
In the first Toy Story movie, you know Sid the bully? Whose backyard is just like a toy wasteland, Barbie head
that.
On
yes.
like a spider body.
We got a little of that.
That's
going.
What it feels like over there. It's just like the land of misfit toys with a Terry Crist bobblehead that's broken. We've got mini Stanley cups all over the place.
Keith Bullock is face down. Yeah. He's face down on the floor. I mean, he looks like he's just been knocked out.
Yeah.
Like that's not good. We got to rescue
him
Keith.
And Duchesne. Both of them are knocked down, aren't
Duchesne
they?
Is face
yeah,
down.
Yeah, Duchesne's face down. What were they doing in here last night? Fighting?
Kevin Byard's got his face against the wall, which a Titans Kevin Byard bobblehead might be worth something Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like the
vintage cartoon.
Yeah. Not Toy Story. What was the other one with the gargoyles? The gargoyles?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
No, it was these toys that came to life. Willie, I remember. It may have been. No, you probably saw
it. Not Jumanji.
Caroline.
Or no. Night at the Museum?
No, it's when the toys, the father owned the toy store, the grandfather owned the toy store, and the toy store wasn't selling enough toys, but then they brought these like gargoyles and these commanders to the store, and they were alive.
I don't have any idea.
Sounds like a great movie.
Was it a scary movie?
No, it wasn't a scary movie.
I was going to say Chucky, but no.
It wasn't a scary movie.
Like Furbies?
It was sort of like, Toy Story, but not as happy. You know, it wasn't like.
Small Soldiers?
Small Soldiers, yes. Yes.
Small Soldiers,
yes.
Got that on VCR. Wow, I'm dating
myself. VCR, woo. Yeah, it did come out in the VCR era. You're right about that one.
98.
Oh, okay. See?
Feels like 98.
Yeah. I hope it
great year for you and also for Tennessee fans.
yes, 98 Chris, was a good year for them.
Good year for Tennessee fans. Chris Mason will join us here in just a few minutes. A little bit of a funky schedule because, Willie Donick, you have a flight to catch to Toronto. But the Predators take it 5-1 last night hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I'll be honest with you. If I had a blindfold on during that game, I wasn't watching anything, and you just asked me, Caroline, one team went 0-for-4 on the power play, and the other went 2-for-3. Who was it? I'm going to have to give the edge to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But that was not the case. Preds 2-for-3 on the power play last night. The penalty kill was absolutely fantastic. Andrew Burnett last night called Tampa Bay Lightning's power play maybe one of the best in the history of the league. Willie, would you agree?
I think over time, it's right up there. Yeah, Edmonton's for sure is in there. But the next discussion would have to be Tampa is right in there with the five guys. They've said they've had the same five guys or four of the five for a long time.
So the Preds take it 5-1. And it really, after the Lightning went up 1-0, it was the Predator show. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were the dominant team. They were the tougher team. I felt like the more physical team. And it showed in the box score and the scoreboard last night.
It was impressive. The penalty kill in particular, I think, was noteworthy. And you got to give Dan Hynode and the guys, I think, a lot of credit for the game plan because nobody seems to have been able to figure out how to slow down Tampa's power play. And I wouldn't say they shut it down last night, but they did about as well as you can do. I mean, 0-for-4, but there were still some chances in there. And then when they got the chances, Juuse Saros was magnificent. That's another thing that's really exciting about where it's going is Juuse Saros each week seems to be taking the strides. And last night I thought he was at his best in that when he's at his best sometimes you see the puck going from point A to point B and you're like, oh, that's going to be a scoring chance. And then the shot comes and he's there. Like he's waiting for it. He's one step ahead. It wasn't happening as much early. But last night was a great example of how he can be the equalizer. He neutralized Tampa's best part of their game, mm-hmm. along with some good penalty killing. And then from there, Nashville did the job on the other end, really doing a good job, outworked them, outpossessed them, and converted on scoring chances.
Yeah, they are, what, 9-2 in their last 11, and they're looking to extend it when they play the Maple Leafs. What is it, tomorrow, Willie?
Tomorrow night. Tomorrow Hockey night, night in man. Canada. Oh, Elliot Friedman goodness. And the Sportsnet crew, they'll be front and center. Remember he said there, yeah. Barry Trotz is coming here. What's he going to say? But it is a fun thing for the players because mm-hmm. a lot of them are, you know, they grew up in Canada, and this is a big – it's the Monday night football, right, or Sunday night football nowadays. Where you get the spotlight, everybody's watching, and it, you know, it goes back generations, and the media, they learn about the team. I think there's a lot of people that don't know much about. The Predators have been kind of flying under the radar this year. It's not a team that was planning on doing much, or not a team that people planned on being in this position, especially when they were 5-10. I think they were like, oh, well, the Predators, they're out of it.
Right.
And now they're back in the mix a little bit here.
And when the Predators were 5-10, I don't think it was even really newsworthy that they weren't playing very well or they weren't finding ways to win games because Barry Trotz told everybody, hey, be patient with us. We don't necessarily expect to be a cup-contending team this season. And one thing that I do think is important to point out was Andrei Vasilevskiy was not in goal last night, so that makes a difference.
Yeah, caught him on a back half of back-to-back and took advantage of it.
And you could kind of tell that the Lightning were feeling it a little bit. But also, it's not like the Predators are coming off of this long, cushy break.
Yes.
This has been a grind.
Everybody's in the
grind. Of a week or so.
It's been a grind for them, and it's going to continue to be a grind for the next, what, couple of games, a week or so here. But they've outscored, you know, their opponents 2-1, basically. If you average it up, the last 11 games, they've won 9, lost 2. But they've outscored, it's been like a 2-1 ratio. Mm-hmm. And that just shows you, one, what UC is doing in net. Now, he had the bad game against the Wild, I understand. He got pulled early in that game. But I think on average, he's been doing a really good job, and he's one of the reasons why, along with some other, you know, a lot of other guys, but he's one of the reasons why they sit in a position of a playoff position at this point in time in a season. Like I said, going 9-2 in the last 11, and they're looking to extend that tomorrow night.
And there was another thing that I liked last night, and I think that you can look at it as wins and losses in different ways for this team because, like I just mentioned, Barry Trotz said, hey, be patient with us. I think with so much newness, with so many young players, new system, new coach, you can pick up on little wins and losses here and there that don't necessarily show up on the scoreboard. Now, of course, you won the game last night. That's the most important thing. I remember about a month ago, a few games into the season, enough games where we could make enough of analysis, but still so few games that it was like, I understand things are going to change very early. You know, we still have plenty of time left. We were talking about concerns about the special teams, about how power play really couldn't get going, how the penalty kill really couldn't get a stop. I think one of the little wins amongst a really big win last night is how you're starting to see the penalty kill, I think, piece itself together.
That's going to be important going forward here, too, because that was the weakest part of their game, I think, early. They seemed to be snake bit, and sometimes, you know, things start all coming together. Like, you might get a bad bounce here. Mm-hmm. You might have a breakdown over there. And sometimes you have a breakdown, and the goalie makes the save or the guy misses the shot, and you get away with it, and your confidence doesn't drop at all. But it seemed like there was a stretch of time where everything was bouncing off one of the Predator guys and going in, or a breakdown, boom, it's converted for a goal. And then you see your number, and you're ranked 29th or whatever it is. And that weighs on you a little bit as a group. So I think that was a big confidence boost last night. So if they can keep moving in the right direction, and just what Hal Gill, who was a longtime penalty killer, always says, take it in segments, right? Don't worry about what you've done, but let's take the last 4 games. Let's see if you can have a good next 4 games. And it won't get any easier tomorrow because Toronto's got a great power play as well. I mean, they got some lethal shooters.
I wanted to ask you something, Willie, because Caroline sort of briefly mentioned it about you know, the sort of, you knew this was going to take some time coming into the, you know, beginning of the season. You knew it was going to, not necessarily, the rebuild, we know it's not a rebuild, but it's, you knew this team was not going to be, well, you figured they were not going to be like one of the top teams in hockey. We knew they were not going to be a top three or four team in hockey. And Barry Trotz basically came out and said, listen, this is going to take some time. We got to put this thing back together. These young guys got to know how to play. We got a new coach. Why is it easy or more accepted in hockey than football? Like football, you can't, like Rand Carthon couldn't have got up on that podium the day he was hired and said, even though we knew the roster wasn't good and we knew they were going to have some difficulties, he couldn't get up there and say, you know what, it's going to take some time, just be patient with us, you know, we got to do some things, evaluate some guys, we got to get some guys in place, but it's going to take some time, but we're going to get there. Why is it easier for, I'm not going to say easy, but why is it more accepted in sort of the hockey space and it's not accepted in the football space, at least here in Nashville?
That's a great question. I think that in baseball and hockey, what you have the ability to do as a general manager is say, we've got a talent pool in the minors that we're developing, that we got our eye on, and they're not ready right now. Like, take the Braves, right? They had all those years in the 90s with Glavin and Maddox and those guys, and that lasted into the 2000s. And then at some point there, they hit a wall. They had about 4 years before this particular group that we're seeing on the field now took flight. And so they had 4 years of bad teams. But what they were doing, they were piling up prospects. You know, they were making trades for Dansby Swanson, and they were drafting high. And they knew they had good players in the minors, but they had to just wait until it came. It doesn't always work, but it worked really well for the Braves. I think that's what a general manager in hockey can say is, okay, here's what we think we have in the minors. It's going to take a little while for us to see what we've got there, but we like where it's going. So this may not be the year, but in the coming years. In football, you don't have that, right? No. You have no minor league system at all, and I still think that's something they should look at. I don't know if they ever will, but it's like, well, we got to find the quarterback. We don't know if we've got him yet, and he may not be in the locker room right now. We may have to try to draft him. So that, I think that's what makes it hard in the NFL to rebuild or to say, look, we're building over the next 2 or 3 years. You can to an extent, but you don't know what you're going to have because you have no development system.
And I think the important thing, if we want to hyper-focus it into the local teams, Predators versus Titans, where the vibe locally about a Predators rebuild, retool, retrots, whatever you want to call it, versus a Titans rebuild, I think is the transparency. Because Barry Trotz came out and said, look, be patient with us. We want to win, but I cannot guarantee you that it's going to be pretty at all times this season. And I think fans heard that and said, okay, because we haven't been pleased with the product that we've seen the last couple of years. We've been wanting a change. And if change causes a couple of difficult games, a couple of difficult months, a couple of difficult seasons, then we're okay with that. The difference with the Titans' message is it is so under lock and key. There's not a lot of transparency. The Titans don't want to say, hey, bear with us. Things might not be very good for a couple of games, for a season or so. We're going to try and win as many games as possible, but we understand that we may have some deficiencies on our rosters. The difference is the expectation that's being set from the higher-ups. Joining us now, Chris Mason. C. Mace, appreciate your time. I know that you're heading
Masons
to
unite.
Toronto.
C. Mace and D. Mace.
C. Mace, D. Mace.
The
all
energy
kinds
is
of
good.
Maces. We need a B. Mace to complete our full alphabet. C. Mace, we were just talking about the game last night. 5-1, Predators take it over the Tampa Bay Lightning. I was so impressed with what I saw from that team. I understand Andre Vasilevsky wasn't in net last night, but to hold that power play to 0-4 on a penalty-killing unit that I thought had a lot of improvement to make from the beginning of the season until now. I was really impressed with the toughness and the fight I saw from this Predators team last night.
Yeah, I thought obviously you mentioned no Vasilevsky, but you know, they had the rest of the guys in front of them. So I think that's a huge step. That was the biggest, to me, was the biggest matchup in the game. was shutting down their power play. It's not only one of the best in the league. It's eating the Predators alive. It seems almost every time they play them, their power play is, you know, the sole reason that, you know, Tampa Bay Lightning, beginning of the year, third period, Preds were hanging in there. They take some penalties, and the power play ended it for the Lightning. And they had a penalty shot, which was a penalty, and the discipline was a factor. But I think, you know, you look at the personnel that they have and the job Dan Hyno did last year, sixth in the league, I think, and this year they got off to a tough start. Didn't help that they had the schedule they did, but I think in the long run that's going to help them, playing all those top power plays, maybe getting beat up a little bit. New guys coming in, and I know Hyno tried to season with a new guy on the team, and then and a guy that had been here the year prior to kind of get some familiarity and some comfortable with the power play units. But now they're starting to – they've been making impacts, positive impacts on the game, in particular last night and lately. The, you know, if you cut the numbers off from the first 10 games or so, maybe even a bit more, they still got scored on, and they've had some bad luck. Like, I don't know. I don't care. If you want to go back to all these games and people say, oh, luck, you create your own luck. That is true. There's an element somewhere in between of maybe you're a little bit out of position, or but the fortuitous bounces for the other team, I think, you know, especially during that tough stretch, were tough. But they're so much better now, and they've got confidence. And that's one of the things I think they've had to work. Everybody knows exactly what's expected of them as a four-man group. One piece is out of place. You could be killing great, and then all of a sudden you have a breakdown for 15 seconds, and one guy misses an assignment. It's in the back of your net. But I think now everybody is so much more cohesive, and they've got confidence. And every time they go over the boards now, they expect to win. And last night, that helped them get 2 points. There's no doubt about it.
Did the Austin Watson slap shot that hit Jeremy Lauzon last night, does that warrant a suspension?
No, because I honestly, I know Watson. I don't think that's what he was trying to do. I think he was frustrated all the way down on Saros. I didn't like it. I mean, there's no point to do it, but sometimes when you're in the heat of the moment, you do stupid stuff. And I think that was one of those, you know, that was one of those things that you could see him out there. He was looking for another fight, and he was being an agitator. I don't think he would ever purposely try to hit somebody like that. And Lauzon was pretty far back. I think he put his head down and just tried to shoot it all the way down the ice. That's just me.
I'm reading his body language. I think he felt bad about it. As soon as it happened, he's like, uh-oh.
That's, I'll guarantee
I didn't
he
mean
almost
to do that.
After.
I was told by a couple of people that he did come over and say that was my bad. Sorry about that.
I would bet. Yeah, I would stake.
And
my
now
that.
You have to keep your fingers crossed that Lauzon is okay, because look, he was really angry going off the ice.
Because I get it. If Austin Watson didn't mean to do it, I understand that. But the results are still.
I know. That's the thing. You got to deal with it. Yeah,
I agree. That's the consequences. You're responsible for that. So obviously. Something they're going to look into, and then I'll have to map it out. I don't know if he's been suspended before, but especially if Lauzon misses any time, that's just completely unfortunate.
Now, what did you see from the Predators in regards to their power play? Because they're going against not just one of the best power play teams, but also one of the best teams in the league at killing power plays. What did they do specifically that they were able to take advantage of the Lightning?
I think this season, I was just looking this up today, Ryan O'Reilly is taking the most power play faceoffs. His percentage is around 62%. So they're starting with the puck a lot. And I think this year, more than any year I've seen the Predators, maybe in the history, maybe back, you have to go back to the Hornquist days of having that net front presence. But they're all over the net. They're executing passes. They're getting penalty kills stationary. Every penalty kill is going to be super aggressive until you move the puck efficiently enough to make them stop and then protect the middle of the ice. And that takes quick, either moving your feet right away or moving the puck right away. And you go high to low, then you get the penalty killers down, collapsing around the net. And I just feel the effectiveness that the guys have had this year, they're able to do that more frequently, which leads to them to be able to set up more plays. And then once they get in the proper positions, it's one thing to get shots, but you have to, you know, if you're Roman Josi, you want to shoot that puck when you get the opportunity. But if you have that net front presence, it's even better. And not only do they usually almost always have one layer of traffic, they've got two layers of traffic. So once everybody recognizes it's a good time to shoot and Yossi's going to be shooting that puck, they converge, they attack the net. The Parsonen goal was a perfect example of that. They had two guys at the net front, and then Parsonen gets a rebound, hits the traffic in front, he gets a rebound, no chance for the goalie. So I really, and Yossi's goal, same thing, net front traffic. It's just, it's been a common denominator that I think they were stressing at the beginning of the year that wasn't always there. They were getting the chances, they didn't have the traffic, and now they have it almost every time. And you could see the success rate. And I think that's really clicked in with the guys.
Mace, you look at Cole Smith, Colton Sissons, Yakov Trenin. They're not headliner guys, but I thought they were very important last night. Cole Smith picks up another point. Cole Smith's plus two, Sissons plus three. Trenin gets the empty net goal. We noticed him all over the ice last night. He's plus three. In a game like that, where a lot of times they're taking the tough shifts against Kucherov's line, that's a huge number in that game.
It's a huge number, and it's exactly the type of game plan. They played last night, they had to travel, got in a little bit late. As the game goes on, those types of minutes and those types of shifts that those guys played against the Lightning, it's going to wear them down. And I think in the third period, you could just see it. You know, they kept the puck in there. They're hounding pucks. And it's one thing when you have, you know, certain guys, it's just in their DNA. You know, that's just no matter what the situation is, if you're up, you know, up three, down three, if you're back-to-back, if you played four and five or whatever the case may be, they're going to work. And they had all three of those guys. And the Lightning just didn't have an answer. You know, they've got more superstar skill on that team. But up and down the lineup, you know, you put a line out like that that's going to go in there and, you know, make contact every single time. They're going to, as soon as they miss or make the Lightning moves a puck, the next guy's in there. It's just like it was just a swarm. And, you know, they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. And their effectiveness, I think, is obviously every guy on the team is going to praise a line that goes out there and plays like they do. But the confidence level, I think, right now by that line, everybody has a role on the team. Everyone's got a job. And I think right now you're seeing them take a lot of pride and have a complete understanding of what their job is. Any offense, which they have been contributing, is a bonus. But it's, you know, when three players on the line have confidence and feel like a major part of the team, I think that goes a long way.
Also, that you can tell when a team is really rooting for each other. I think they're really scoring high in that category right now. And the example was when Ryan McDonagh scored that goal last night. It's against his former team, but it was a spectacular type of goal. Hal Gill almost jumped, you know, almost hit the rafters jumping up because he's already fairly close to the rafters up there.
It's pretty tall.
But he went airborne because you don't see like a backhand one-timer like that very often. And he went top shelf. That was really something. But the reaction of the players around a guy like that, you just see how much they love Ryan McDonagh.
Oh my God! It's, you know, and he's, we always knew he was a leader. He's won championships, you know, and Brunette and everybody said that he's, you know, had the opportunity to be a little more vocal, maybe have a bigger piece of the room there now. Everybody knows him, what he's all about, and when you're starting fresh. Like they are this year with a lot of new voices, you know, he gets to step up and do what he has done his entire career. And, you know, you're so right. I mean, we were talking to the Tampa people and they're just saying how much they miss Ryan McDonagh for what he brings to the team. And I think, you know, it's like you have those older guys on the team. They're kind of like your dad. You know, he's always, you're looking for advice and a dad that, you know, is kind of always there for everybody else. And, they've got a real special thing. And I think we've seen, I've played on teams where you have that camaraderie where just you love everybody on the team. And, you know, it does feel like a family. I know that is cliche, but you spend so much time together. You go through the battles, you go through the, you know, the awesome times, and then you go through the mud together and you really find out what you're made of and what kind of chemistry you have. I think, you know, doing that, and I think, you know, early in this season, they've went through a lot of both, to be honest with you. It's like a fresh start, and everybody's in it together, but you see these guys off the ice like we do, Willie, or on the plane or wherever it is. You just, you know, they have that special ingredient, and, you know, I've been on teams with that special ingredient that I would say maybe aren't the most talented, but you tend to overachieve, I think, more when you have that camaraderie and that family type of a feeling, obviously way more than the other D-Mace. I know you guys know that very well, and I really feel that this team has that.
Chris Mason, appreciate you for joining us, especially on such short notice with your trip to Toronto coming up, but we appreciate you as always, and we'll chat with you next week.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, safe travels. Willie D, you will also be departing us. We will miss you very much, but I know that you've got a great call coming up tomorrow night in Toronto.
Yes, you guys have a great weekend. I will. I'm actually coming off a really good Take It to the Bank, so I got to get my pick in to Nick because I feel like December could be my month. It could be.
It's Donixember.
And I just want to make sure that everybody knows how much I'm thankful for the low-scoring games in the NFL last week because that was my pick. So the boring games were good for me.
And I thought that you could have double cashed in on that Thursday night football game last night.
I should have.
It was actually not as low scoring as I thought it was going to be.
And the Patriots won.
I thought it was going to be like an Iowa situation. Iowa-Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Over-under 13.
Iowa-ish.
Very Iowa-esque.
Over-under 6 points.
Brutal. Willie Donick, safe travels to Toronto. Coming up next, do the Titans have any shot? Any shot against the Dolphins. We'll discuss, and of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.